Okay, good morning, and welcome to another edition of the weekly Emuna call. This is Henry Harris, and I'm just going to take a quick moment to remind folks of the unique and valuable opportunity of being part of a live conference. There's so many opportunities to learn about this inside-out understanding in books, on videos, on audio recordings. But there really is something to be said for being part of a group experience with well over 100 people tuning into the question, this beautiful inquiry. You know, how does the inside nature of our life work? So I encourage you, 3 days away, to grab it. Okay, and now let's proceed to this week's conversation. You know, we're just to reiterate what we're here to do. We're here to revisit and remind ourselves of the truth of what's true about our experience, and of course, what cannot be true about our experience, and how that can simplify our lives. It can simplify. It can just let us. It allows us to just simply be. To disconnect to unhelpful habits and thoughts, unhealthy and unhelpful things on our mind. You know, when we understand what is true and what cannot be true, we simply allow a wisdom that's present inside of us, that's not dependent on our conscious work, our conscious intelligence, our conscious exertion. There's an intelligence that resides inside of us that is independent of our personal mind, that we're beneficiaries of, that is continuously and ongoingly escorting us through our lives. And yet, ironically, despite the fact that that wisdom is continuously with us and we're beneficiaries of it, we can mistakenly run interference with it, you know, by innocently engaging and participating in trying to manage and control our inner world. We can run interference with that wisdom. And so waking up to the truth, revisiting the truth, being reminded of this truth, which we will forget, at least as far as I can tell. I don't know how not to forget it at times. But then we can wake up to it again. And the truth that our experience is not coming from a world of circumstances, a group of people, past events, no matter how much it looks and feels to be that it's that's what is sourcing and causing an experience I'm having. It's, you know, the truth that never stops, that never leaves this reality, accounts for the forgetting of the truth. It's normal that that is part of the truthful nature of our experience, is that we forget the truth. It doesn't change the truth. It just means that it's capable of becoming obscured from view. So we're here to review that and to revisit that and to consider the power of that truth and how it's not on me to get it. It's not on me to grasp it. I'm living in it in a way that it's normal to lose sight and then normal to wake up. And I'm interested in relying on and acknowledging the presence of that wisdom. So that's the intro. And I want to speak about a metaphor that I just saw recently that was very moving to me. In brief, I would call the metaphor, what would happen if the car you were driving actually had two drivers? And I wrote about it just recently, and I want to explore it further. And I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a conversation I was having with a client who's struggling with just a very difficult situation at work, where he feels extraordinary stress. He feels a tremendous amount of He feels that he's at the whims of a boss that can really, really cause him harm, and he can see that it's not helpful to walk around that way, but he just doesn't know how to get out from under that fear that he's living in work environment, and then simultaneously in another meaningful relationship in his life. He can see that he really believes that somebody has power over him. And as we were exploring the this conversation about the nature of our, how our inner world works. How there's a how his experience of fear is not coming from the boss or coming from the spouse, and how our inner world has its own contours, its own weather, that we're not causing the same way we're not causing the weather in the world that we're living in out there. We're not causing the weather inside of us. We have weather patterns. Now, it's not a goal, it's not helpful to try and change the weather outside. And simultaneously, it's not helpful to try and change the weather inside, but it is helpful to understand what's true about that weather, that internal experience. It's helpful to know what cannot be true about it, i.e. that it's coming from the boss, the spouse, etc. So we, as we were exploring that, I could really feel that he was kind of slowing down, and he was getting curious, and something was showing up for him. And then he shared a story. He said, you know, this reminds me of an experience I just had with my son. And then he shared with me the following. He has a 9-year-old son who's into sports. And his son had tried out for a basketball team. And by all accounts, the son did quite well. He worked. He just really gave it his all. The father could see he was playing very well. The son felt he was playing very well. The son's friends said, oh, you played really well. You're going to make this team. So after the tryouts, they were told everyone who's on the team will get a call within 48 hours. Well, lo and behold, he doesn't get a call. And they confirmed that he doesn't make the team. And there was a lot of upset. The son was upset. The mom was upset. The dad was upset. And the father in particular was like agitated. You know, he went to his son. He said, you know, we can do something about this. We can, you know, I can call and complain because the coach's son did make it and everybody said you should make it. And there was like a lot of, you know, there was like a whole set of, you know, pondering about it and complaints about it. And then the father said, and, you know, we can make our own team and I could be the coach and we could choose the teammates that, you know, we want. And like the father had a lot to say. And at a certain point, the son, this is what the father shared with me. The son turned to his father and he said, Dad, I just need some time. I just need some time to be alone. And the father was kind of taken aback by that, but the son did. He went off and kind of spent a little time on his own. And I don't know whether it was hours or whether it was the next day, but not too long into the future, the son had moved on. And the father and the mother were struck by it because they were still agitated. They were still bothered. And yet somehow the son was like, okay, you know, next. And this was to the father an example of what it must be like to kind of let go, you know, to appreciate that my inner world isn't necessarily being pressed on or yanked by a basketball tryout, getting accepted or not getting accepted. Like, it's not an outside-in world. And if you have some understanding about that, you kind of, the weather patterns move, you know. So the father was noticing that, and I was struck by it too. And I thought, you know, and I said to him, yeah, it's so interesting that your son could see that. And here's my question to you is, does he understand this conceptually? Like, could he explain to you the idea of, you know, your mind gets busy, and when your mind gets busy, it's helpful just to kind of let it sit and not, you know, chew on it, not ruminate on it. Does he understand that? And the father obviously acknowledged like he doesn't. You know, nobody told him that. Nobody explained that to him. But somehow he found that he gravitated toward that, and it helped him. And what struck me was like that's an internal wisdom that the child saw. Like he could feel, this is not helping me to process this, Dad. I don't want to chew on this. I just want to go and be quiet, you know. And the question I want, there are a couple of points I want to illustrate here. I want to say that it might be tempting to say, oh, the son saw this and was gravitated toward it because kids are better at this than parents. And there could be that there's something to be said for the fact that kids do have, they live in a world where they're less on the hook to get things done, to calculate and produce results. Like there is a degree which I can see that, you know, where with my responsibilities and the things I'm accountable to, I'm definitely, you know, my schedule, my timing, my this results, I'm definitely aware of, you know, what I'm responsible to make, you know, in my life. And in that sense, I enter into a world of kind of, you know, my calculations a little more easily than perhaps kids do. So I'm not saying that it's completely untrue that kids might have an advantage in that regard, but I think we all know that kids can get lost and we can't seem to help them get out. You know, they also get lost. And so I don't think that it's purely the case that adults are hopeless and kids are, you know, are capable of seeing this. I don't think that's true at all. I do think, obviously, that there is a truth that the child experienced that we also experience. And I want to illustrate, again, what I think is going on there. There is a simple wisdom that is present in our lives that we're benefiting from. It is Hi, I'm so sorry about that. I know something's going on with my controls and the call dropped, but I'm back. So what I was saying is that what I understand to be the truth behind what this child was able to see without anybody having informed him of it is that there is a wisdom present that's helping us that we're not conscious of, that we're not accountable to, but yet it's showing up in our lives. And that's the yashrus. That's the simple wisdom that God made inside of us. And how that wisdom becomes obscured, as we've said many times, is because of hem bikshu cheshbonus rabos, is our misunderstanding about our experience and our feelings, where it looks like a good idea to us to try to protest, resist, avoid, manage certain feelings, the same way that a person would seek to protest, resist, or manage the weather out there, you know, which just wears a guy out and leaves him kind of exhausted and frustrated. That's what happens when we look to manage, resist, avoid, judge our own internal experience, you know, the thoughts that arouse our feelings. There is no feeling without thought, and thought is not something that I generate. Thought is coming to me from beyond me in this moment from a divine source. That's where my feelings and experience arises from. Now, I don't need to I don't need to react to it. That's the wisdom, is that I can have an understanding about that. I can have an understanding that allows me to stand in the feeling without the need to change the feeling. And that's what that child understood without knowing what he was doing, is that he understood, I just need to be in this feeling state without needing to poke it, and it'll be okay, Dad, right? And here's the metaphor that came to me. It struck me that it's kind of like the wisdom that allows for a cut to heal in our body. You know, we certainly can apply a bandage and we can clean a cut, but we don't get involved in a wisdom process of, you know, the actual healing. We don't, you know, there's a blood clotting process, there's tissue generation, I don't even know how to express the level of complexity and processes that come together to produce practical healing results. And suffice it to say, I'm not managing that process at all, and yet it works, right? It's present in my physiological system. It's present in my life, even though I have no cognizance of making it or managing it. It just is there. Now, it seems to me that there is an aspect of how that wisdom is showing up in our mental life and our mental experience as well, except there's also a way in which it's distinct from the experience of how a cut heals. And here's what I mean. Meaning how my mind regulates and kind of settles down the way this child sought to regulate and settle down, in a certain sense is like the way a cut heals. But in a certain sense, it's not. And here's what I mean. I likened it to the metaphor of driving a car. You know, the process whereby the cut heals to me is kind of like a single driver. You know, God is driving, and he's somehow allowing hormones and chemicals and blood and all the things interact, and this cell knows to do this, and this blood clotting mechanism knows to do this, and he's driving it. You know, like I'm just, as there's people out there driving and bringing things from one place. I have a Amazon Prime delivery coming to my house today, and somebody's out there driving it. I don't know where he is. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know. I am not at all involved in him driving that Amazon Prime delivery to me today. I have reasonable confidence it's going to show up. I have even more confidence that the blood clotting process is going to happen because God is driving. It's a single driver. I don't have any involvement in it, and yet it happens. Now, that's true about the wisdom present in the cut healing. But what's interesting about the wisdom of my mind settling down, of the kind of the regulation that shows up in my mind, my mental experience, which the child had, like the child shows a wisdom process came forth, you know, and got him to a destination. Like he really arrived at a place of kind of calm, in a way that he wasn't conscious of how to get himself there. So he got driven, so to speak, from point A to point B. It's just that the difference in that context to me is that really we're talking about a dual driver, a dual steering wheel car, right? My mental experience is definitely got a driver God is a driver in my mental experience. I mean, he's the source of thought. I'm not generating the thoughts that flow through my mind. He creates the whole gift of consciousness, which is what allows me to feel my thinking. I can have an experience of warmth and love. I can have an experience of fear and insecurity. He creates that whole thing, and he's driving thoughts and driving kind of the whole platform of my consciousness. But what's interesting is that there's another steering wheel in that car. I'm also driving because I have a role. I can judge, you know, I can feel my feelings, right? I can feel my thoughts. I'm having an experience of my thoughts. I can become judgmental of certain thoughts and dislike thoughts and try to get away from them or resist them or avoid or manage or all those things. I do have a role to play. So here we go. Here's the picture. Here's the metaphor of there's two drivers in a car. Now, on the one hand, that could be really helpful. You know, it could be a wonderful gift that there's two drivers. Because if one driver gets tired or gets kind of incapacitated, okay, so he's got a second driver. It's a beautiful thing. On the other hand, what happens if one driver doesn't know about the existence of the other driver, right? Like what would happen in that case? So they both have a hand on the wheel, but the second one doesn't know. God, oy vavoy, you know, like that could cause a lot of problems where the one driver is running serious interference with the first driver. To me, that's the reality of my mental life, my mental experience, is that I am a driver. It's not like I'm not. It's just that I'm not the only driver. And if I don't know that I'm not the only driver, I could miss out on so much help. And B, I could make my life difficult. You know, I could really contribute innocently to a lot of challenge. And that's what it feels like to me. You know, we each of us find ourselves driving through difficult terrain, you know, like insecure feelings and fearful feelings or jealous or angry feelings, whatever they might be. It can feel like, oh, this is not a pleasant place to be. And of course, the only, you know, it's a very normal human response to say, I got to get out of here. I'm going to take the steering wheel. I'm going to jerk it off this road and try to get somewhere else. Well, okay, but in the interim, the other driver hasn't stopped driving. So it's a balagan, you know, it's a mess. And I think that I'm just speaking for myself, like to see more clearly, to see and open up to the truth that there is a driver present. The same way there's a driver driving the cuts, you know, toward healing, there's a driver driving my mental life toward understanding, toward growth, toward greater appreciation of what the truth of life is. But of course, it involves going through some uncomfortable terrain. You know, there is in the Almighty's wisdom, He saw fit to allow us the experience of insecure thought. And part of the job of, you know, part of the beautiful job of being a driver is to understand that there is a presence of another driver, and that there's times where it behooves me to kind of ease off the wheel. I think using the metaphor, when our visibility drops, when our experience of the road kind of becomes highly distressed, it's an opportunity to remember to let go. Of course, when the road is beautiful and the road is, you know, filled with warm, loving, scenic vistas, of course it's an opportunity to see that there's another driver too. You know, it's always the case that we want to remember there's another driver. There's obviously limits to every metaphor, so I don't know where else to go with it, but that's to me, you know, kind of what I'm seeing in the context of this metaphor. And you know, I guess one last message I want to share is a message of encouragement that I first and foremost is to myself. The truth is that the game is rigged in our favor. You know, with even a little bit of understanding and patience, we will gain an insight. We will stop working at odds with this wisdom that is already and always present inside of us, that's already and always in moving in the direction of yashrus, of helping ourselves. You know, it is so true that is an unstoppable force of good in our lives. And even a little bit of understanding allows us to step back into sync and to see how we're not on our own, how to see that we're not responsible to be the sole driver of this journey that we're on. In the 5 years that I've been actively seeking an understanding of the inside out, I've had, on the one hand, so many insights and blessings, and yet at the same time, I've had so many times of upset and frustration, and yet looking upon the landscape of my life, it's unmistakable to me how much nicer the whole navigational process is, how much my new normal is so much wiser and gentler than it was some time ago. And I honestly don't see how it has to do in any. I'm driving. I have a driver's wheel. You know, it's not like I'm not. I don't. I do account for my contribution. I just see over and over again the outsized disproportion of my contribution to the wisdom platform that is helping me. So I just want to encourage folks, you know, keep at it. This is true. It's worthwhile for its own sake, and it hurts at times. It really hurts at times to not see things, and it can feel quite discouraging to feel like, again, I don't see it, or again, this, whatever the thinking is that I'm certainly familiar with. But we're in this, you know, this is our career. This is the job we were placed in this world to understand, first and foremost, is to know God. And it begins with knowing Him as He's showing up inside of our own experience. That's the beginning of all understanding. And so, that's my message. That's my metaphor today. I'm going to pause for a moment to see if someone has a comment or a thought. And we'll see where we go. Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Please don't hesitate to contact me with comments or questions either at 845-393-1529 or alternatively at info@jewishcenterforwellbeing.com. And I look forward to seeing everybody this coming Sunday, Mitzvah Hashem, at the 6th Annual Innate Health Conference. Have a wonderful week and a good Shabbos.